This podcast is brought to you by Church of Living Waters. Find out more information at colw.info. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
I have a Christmas card, and I praise God for all the Christmas cards that we receive. We try to give out Christmas cards. They're very important. This Christmas card is very special to me, and all of them are special. But this Christmas card is from Mildred McClung. And Mildred McClung went to see Jesus a couple of days before Christmas. So this was just kind of fresh on her. And I praise God at young age of, I think, 82. Was that correct? You know, that day was the day God called her name. And she went to see him. Amen. But as a pastor, it's so important for me to be with you as God's people. See, I'm a shepherd. And my job, my responsibility, my what I get to do, amen, is to get to watch over the sheep. From it doesn't like say, okay, from 8 to 5, Darren, I want you to watch over the sheep. Because how many of you know at nighttime is when things happen? That's when the sheep are kind of calm and a wolf comes at nighttime. So it's not a time period. But, you know, I'm so thankful that I was able to have the privilege to be a shepherd over Mrs. McClung. I know that this was a couple of weeks ago, but I want to read what she said. And she said, she was speaking to me and wife, "You two have been an encouragement in my life. What you stand for, the reality of God's love and the way it's presented, what you've been through and the way that you choose to handle it teaches. It touches my heart. I thank God for you and your family. Praise him and give him thanks. Merry Christmas." Yeah. I want to read that because not only Mildred, but many that have gone before us that are in the host of heaven today cheering us on. Do you believe that? Do you believe that scripture? See, Mildred, I was shepherding her. I was loving her. We were caring for her, believing for healing in her life. And the day that Jesus called her, he called her name, and then she's in the Holy of Holies seeing face to face him. It doesn't stop what God has called us to do in relationship. See, Mildred's still today alive, alive forevermore, breathing the real air, seeing the real sights. And I want you to just hear this today as I share vision of Church Living Waters. There are many before us. The church has been in existence now coming up on 37 years. There's many before us that have bought these chairs, that have built the buildings, that have purchased the land, that we always want to receive and to continue to give honor to. Mildred McClung will always be in my thinking, and I always will say thank you, God, for Mildred. Every Sunday after I preached, Mildred would find me, and she'd say, "Oh, you preach so good." I'm looking for another Mildred to rise up. Her life was not in vain. Touched so many people. At the age of 80, in her 80s, was still continuing to see what God had for her. What purpose and plan. Her husband died 10 years before her and was left here just a widow, but continued to say, "God, I will serve you. God, I don't know all the answers to questions, but I will worship you. God, you've called me into this position of prayer, and I will pray for you." And she spoke to me all the time, "Son, I'm praying for you." And I just want to give her honor today. Amen. We know Big John. I know Big John affected all of our lives. At a young age of 40, God called John's name. Most of us did know that John had a syndrome. I mean, you could see that he was different. But he had a syndrome that he outlived so many people that had the same syndrome. And you know, John was here with us a Sunday, giving us hugs. He was eating breakfast with us. Mad at me because we didn't have bacon that day. mad at me because we didn't have bacon. You can ask Roger about the bacon. He just looked at me and he said, why didn't you just tell me? Why didn't you tell me there was not going to be bacon? Praise God. And God called his name. One of John's greatest prayers was that his father was going to come into the kingdom of God. His mother had passed away on Mother's Day. It really spoke to me. It was the weekend before Mother's Day. It helped me get through some healing in my life because I knew I needed to be with John, with him losing his mother. I say all of this because I want to give honor to a few people that are before us. I don't want to take life lightly. I don't take life lightly. I don't take your life lightly, and I don't take the ones that are before us, because they are in a host of heaven looking down on us, joining us in prayer today. I believe that my mom is in heaven pulling some strings for me. If you knew her, you would know she could find those strings. Come on. Every Sunday, John would meet me at my office and say, can you pray for my dad? I don't know if he's going to make it. He's drinking a lot. He misses my mom. I don't know what to do with him anymore. And we would sit there and we would pray. And John would look at me and say, I know what he needs. He needs Jesus. That was every Sunday. It was like clockwork. And then he would go make the coffee for us. Does anybody miss the coffee? We need a John to rise up. Come on. He didn't even drink coffee, but he was here making it for the people. Got on me quite a bit. Come on. I want to say that because I had the privilege of doing John's funeral with the body of Christ. I'm not the one. We are the body. Many of us were here. Many of us came. The night before the viewing, John's father wasn't even able to come really into the room to see his son. And I knew John's prayer continued, and I saw this man, I saw how hard he was. I saw how he didn't want to even talk or even want to do anything. But I'm here to tell you that on the next day, the funeral, God spoke to me, and he spoke to me very direct. He told me exactly what I to dot and what T to cross. I praise God that God is good. Come on. He spoke to me exactly what was needed to be said. And he also spoke to someone, her name's Linda Littleton, to rise up and to say something, and to Dave Efron to rise up. And those two rose up and said yes to God. See, that's what we have to do. Brother Daryl speaks very clearly that God is going to speak something to us, and we have about 10 seconds. Hey, man, that's quick, isn't it? I'm like, Daryl, you don't think 20 seconds? He says, no, 10. And what happens in 10 seconds is we either say yes or no. And those two said yes. And I'll say all of this to say that the very end of my preaching, I prayed a prayer, and I picked up my head, and John's father, sitting right here, had his hand raised exactly like this, said, can I say something? That day, in front of many of the people that respected him as a man, in front of the body of his son, he gave his life to Jesus Christ. You know, we don't want to take lightly John's life. But I'm here to tell you, God didn't take it lightly either. And God chose to receive John, and John today does not have the syndrome that he has. He doesn't have. He's up in heaven, and boy, he loves people. He loved to sing karaoke. That's maybe what he's doing. I don't know. But John's father's decision to receive Christ was more important to God than anything. And we have to understand and know that God will use us, and he'll use us here on this earth. And in the day that our purpose is over with, he will receive us. For some, it's 40 like John. For some, it's 80 like Miss McClung. But you know, age and these things is not a respecter, that death is going to come to all. And my mom would say this very boldly, that in this room, there's someone next. And it's coming, and it's not to be afraid of. But the only reason that it's coming is because your purpose and destiny is now over here on this earth. And for you to go and to receive your earthly crowns and the gift that God's given you, then your purpose and destiny will continue even in more way. Amen. Just giving some honor to some people in front of us. I want to give honor to my mom. Never met a lady like her. The reason why I'm preaching today, because this microphone, we have two microphones. One's kind of damaged. I don't know if it's this one or not. But the reason it's damaged, because she would take the microphone and she'd walk up to me and she would hit the microphone in my stomach. Yeah, you're laughing. There was people laughing at that point too, but it was not me laughing. And she would hit it and it would do this. That's why my stomach grew a little bit. It needed some growth. And she would speak and prophesy into my life and say that up through your belly is going to rise up the words of God. And although it might not look like it in your life right now, in your thinking, there'll be a day that you'll rise up. And it's going to come out of your belly and you're not going to be ashamed of the gospel. You're going to be bold. Amen. And I know that in your life, many of you were touched by some of these people. I could go on and on and on about the people before us. The Bob Williams, the many, many people, men and women of God. And I believe that there'll be a day that there'll be other people here that will be speaking about me and speaking about you, of the faithfulness that you were here in this ministry, of how you rose up and how you rised up and did what God called you to do, and that you again joined the witnesses in the cloud. Amen? Amen. I want to speak this morning. Before I speak, we're going to have a short video of some of the things that happened this last year. We always want to give honor and be thankful. It's very easy in this ministry because we're so busy to run past and run through. So is that video ready today? Let's go ahead and play that. Thank you. Amen. I know that could go on and on and on because of the church and because of what God is doing here. Praise God. I just want to share, starting today at sometime today, it's different for everybody, anybody, through next Sunday, we've called the Church Living Waters to a corporate fast. I know the month of January, many people are coming in alignment. Many people have already been fasting. Some people choose to do the Daniel fast. Some people choose to do the Jesus fast. Whatever God lays on your heart. I've spoke to each one of my children, and this is a time where we as a family come together, and I ask each one of them to hear God. And like one of them say, well, I'm going to fast bubble gum. You know, at that point I say, well, let's hear God again. You know, so make sure we hear God here, you know. Just want to encourage you every night. We'll be sending out through Facebook, through email, just a prayer point for the next day for us to join together in prayer. We believe that prayer changes things. And the corporate prayer of God's body really rises up what God has for us. So just if God hasn't spoke to you even through this service, I'm not out looking out at the restaurants. I trust what God is saying and God's doing. I had a leader one time come to us. We were in New Zealand. A bunch of us were young, doing Youth of the Mission, and he says, I got something, and God has spoken to me. For the next 3 weeks, we're all going to fast, and it starts right now. Complete fast. And I'm thinking, goodness, I didn't even eat breakfast. And then this one kid kind of speaks in my ear, and he says, doesn't he have our money for lunch? Man, I'm telling you, 3 weeks, it was just terrible what happened. I mean, all of us, a couple of days later, were hiding to eat. I mean, so it's not that type of leading. God's leading this. Amen? If we're doing it unto him. You're not doing it unto me. Come on, let's be obedient to him. If something happens and you fall down, pick up yourself and get going again. Let's move together for a week. Amen? The Bible speaks very clearly. And it shows us in the book of Acts, it shows us clearly that when the church started, do you know that Jesus said that on this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail? I'm going to speak about vision, and I'm going to throw vision out all over this message here pretty soon. Right when you walk into these doors, there's going to be this huge rock. You ready? This huge rock. And on that rock, it's going to say right here, it's going to say, it's going to speak very clearly that on this rock, we're going to represent what Jesus said here at this ministry with a big rock that's going to sit out there, and it's going to speak on this rock, and it's going to continue what the word says. I will build my church, and Church of Living Waters is a church that's built on that rock, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Amen? The New Testament church was born in a blaze of glory. The Holy Ghost came down upon it with what? With fire. And the first Christians spoke with tongues and prophesied. They experienced unbelievable conviction in their hearts. And they went out and they reached the multitudes. They broke out on the nights and they left. And where all the hearts were greatly enlarged. They did it all for God. They were on fire for God. I want to just share today what God is speaking in this ministry, in this hour. The fear of God fell on those first Christians. Do you know that they didn't call themselves Christians? They were not like, okay, what's our name? Let's be Christ-like. We're Christians. That people around them called them Christ-like. Boy, they're like Christ. And the name Christian came because of other people calling them that. And I praise God and believe that in this hour that the people of Church of Living Waters, that everywhere we represent, every job that we go into, every family, that those people are saying the same things about these Christians this hour, that they are Christ-like. Wow, that Gamila's Christ-like. That Reuben, something different about him. Christ-like, Christ-like. We don't want to call ourselves Christians, let other people call us Christ-like. Just like in the first hour of the church, there were signs, there were wonders, there were miracles everywhere that they went. Jails could not hold them. Storms could not throw them down. When their possessions were seized, they continued to rejoice. When they were stoned, hanged, burned, or crucified, they went out singing praises unto God. It was a triumphant church, unafraid of Satan. did not have idols, unmoved by plagues or persecutions. It was blood-washed church, living and dying in victory. Now, that's the book of Acts. You can go there, you can read that, exactly what I said. That was what was happening when the church was birthed on Pentecost. And you know, I'm here to say, over 2,000 years later, that the church did not start out with a fire like that. And God is not going to let it just dwindle out and just get so bad that he's going to just have to come back and get a dying church. That the church started out with a fire, and guess what? There'll be a day that the eastern skies will split and the church will be on fire. Do you believe that? The church of Jesus Christ is not going out with a whimper or a limp. It is going out victorious. I'll say it again. It's not going out limping. The church that he built on that rock, that he said that on this rock, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It will be a victorious church. It's going out victorious with joy unspeakable, riding a river of peace. It is going out in freedom from all bondage. I'll say it again. It's going out in freedom of all bondage. If there's bondage here, there is freedom. If you're wrapped up and you're chained down with bondage, there is freedom. His name's Jesus. It's going out in freedom from all bondage with its foot on Satan's neck. And every member of the true church will live and die without fear. Every member of the true church will live and die without fear. You know what happened on the cross? The sting of death disappeared. He gave us everlasting life. Christians will be holy and will tear down idols in this hour. They will be just as strong in the Lord as the first Christians. The Word of God speaks clearly about the life of Jesus, and Jesus says himself that the people that are coming will not only do the things that I've done, but they'll even do greater things than I've done. That's speaking of Jesus. And you know, in my heart, it's just, let's just do the things that maybe John the Baptist did, or let's just do the things that Paul did. But Jesus is saying, the things that I've done, you're even going to do greater things. It's prophesied all over the Word of God about the church rising up without spot or wrinkle. It's all over. A pure bride is going to rise up. I'm living my life to be part of the pure bride. I'm living my life to be part of the church that rises up victorious without spot or wrinkle, taking over cities. Come on. I'm not living my life to be part of the limping church. Part of the church without any power. Part of the church that something's going on there. See, those things are not the church that Jesus died for. Those things are not the church that he said on this rock. See, we need to make sure we're on the right rock. There's a lot of rocks here in this world, but on this rock, as we build on this foundation, it will not be shaken. The church, as the brother shared this morning, is going to experience an undeserved outpouring of love, mercy, and kindness. It's undeserved. We don't deserve what's going to be poured out. I don't deserve someone dying for me, for the sins that I've done. I didn't deserve it. It's prophesied in Isaiah that he is kindness, that he is mercy. It's prophesied that this is going to be poured out on his church in the last days. That mercy will rise up. That love will rise up. That kindness will rise up. And we're here as a church in favor, saying, God, we will receive your love. We will receive your kindness. We will receive your mercy. Come on. The Bible speaks this. It says, the Lord answered me. Write down the vision. Write it clearly on clay tablets, so whoever reads it can run and tell others. Write clearly the vision. Today I'm going to speak clearly, just in a few minutes, the vision for every man and woman of God. And then I'm going to speak very clearly the vision of this house and how it connects together. Are you ready today? One of the most important reasons for organization, for people coming together, is so that no one will lose perspective of why the organization was formed. And I'm careful calling his church an organization. I want to be very careful because it's his church. And we are the church. And you know, I understand many people saying, "And well, Pastor, I'm not going to church because I am the church and I'm having church here and we're having a good time." And I want to be careful with that because there's something about the assembling of the body that comes together that's very, very important. See, I praise God that I am the church, and I know that I'm the church, and everywhere I go, I'm the church. But I'm here to tell you, I am starving and thirsty every Sunday morning that I come together. And I receive food, and spiritual thirst. And it's something about the body coming together. I want you to hear that. The reason for being must be kept clear in everyone's mind. Why are we here today? Those connected with this ministry in the beginning knew its real being. Those that birthed the ministry, the Ricky and Lucy Diaz's, the Peggy and Kenny Hand that are in the ministry still here, they can come and at the very beginning can be able to speak why this ministry was birthed. But for many people are even new today. We have to continue to hear why this ministry was birthed. We have to continue to hear why we're here, what we're doing. Come on. What God is speaking to us and how you're going to pick it up and run with it. Amen. I've been a coach a lot in my life. And everybody that I'm coaching, the team that I put out on the field in whatever sport, they need to be clear with what we're going to do. Because if one of them doesn't know, the whole play messed up. Have you ever seen a quarterback drop back and he throws a pass and there's no one there? And that receiver's like this and the quarterback's like this. Someone didn't know the plan. So many times in God's church, a ball is thrown and there's no one there. Because the purpose and the vision was not there. Do you know that we have real purpose? That we're not just here just to be here? We're not just here just kind of coming together. There is purpose, and let me share quickly what that purpose is. Is that today in this city, and very quickly someone will die, and they have not received Jesus Christ, and they'll live eternally in hell. That's the purpose. That we're here, and I'm going to read it here in a minute, to go out into a lost and dying city amongst our families, amongst our co-workers, and we are to allow Jesus to be represented in our lives. That they are calling us Christ-like. That they know that something's different. I talked last week a little bit about a fragrance that comes. See, I'm carrying Jesus on the inside of me. I'm connected to him, and I'm telling you, people know it. I don't have to say it. They can just see it. They can smell it. They can look at it. And many times people will come and they say, "There's something different about you." Not many of them say you smell different. I praise him for the mighty leaders in the 36 years that has allowed your reason for being to become the mission and help designate what God is speaking here. Never has God had ministries and churches sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit to follow his leadership so that unity, strength, and blessing might prevail in the body of Christ. But I believe that even now, it's prepared and ready. Never have the needs of humanity and the needs of those in the ministry been greater. There is a new awakening. Our best days are right here. God saved the very best to the last. Come on. He saved the very best to the last. Do you believe that? Jesus said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Something that we really have to understand and know, that today we didn't make a decision to choose him. That he made a decision to create us. He made a decision to hand wove us in our mother's womb. That he made a decision to choose us. Amen. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. That's what every one of us has a ministry. And our ministry is that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I'll speak it to everybody that's here. You are a royal generation, a royal priesthood. And you have not just here accidentally. You've been chosen by the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And what he's speaking over you and speaking to you, that you have been ordained and that you should go out and bring forth fruit, and the fruit should remain. Amen. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32 says, "The people that know their God shall be strong and do great exploits for him." Amen. Say it again. The people that know their God. Shall be strong and do great exploits for him. To know their God, to acknowledge him as God, to acknowledge him as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, of everything, acquainted with, to comprehend who he is, strong, to be courageous, to be courage, to have courage in our lives, not to be afraid, not to be ashamed. You know, exploits. As the people that I read about, they're in the host of heaven cheering us on. I could speak great and mighty exploits that they have done in front of us. Many of them have reached out and have handed us the baton for us to pick up and say, "I'll run with it." Amen. The divine call upon every life of every member in the body of Christ is found. Are you ready for it? Every person here that's a son and daughter of God that have received Christ, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to read something called the Great Commission. It's a divine call on every life that's here today, every member of the body of Christ, and it's found in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. The Great Commission is one of the most significant passages in the Holy Bible. First, it's the last recorded personal instruction given by Jesus. We've talked about that many times. If I have one more thing to tell you, and I know that today is my last day, what I'm going to say is pretty important. The last words that came out of my mother's mouth before she went to see Jesus was, "Jesus loves you." Pretty important words spoken to the person that was there. Jesus' last words, we're going to read it here in a minute. The second reason why it's important, it's a special calling from Jesus Christ to the followers to take specific action while here on earth. The Great Commission is found in Matthew chapter 28. Let me read it. "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very ends of the age.'" It's so exciting to me to see people grab the vision of God in their lives. Come on. As a shepherd, there's nothing more, Daryl, than to see someone that you have prayed for, that you have loved, that you've encouraged, that you've been there alongside of them, for them to rise up and say, "I know what God is calling me to do, and this is what I'm going to do. Would you stand with me? Would you pray with me? Would you help me?" I'm telling you, those are the kind of things that give me another day of excitement. I'm so excited today, Frank and Jeannie. Many people would say, "Well, Frank's in his older age. Frank has the white wisdom of white hair." Come on. But Frank understands what the scripture's speaking, and it doesn't say how old you are. It doesn't say what's going on. It says, Frank, that Jesus came, and he said that all authority in heaven has been given to him. So, Frank, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations of Italy, baptizing them in the name of the Father. Isn't it amazing how he used the Trinity right there? He opened up the Trinity to us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and surely I'll be with you. I'm so excited to see Frank and Jeannie at maybe, you know, we don't know God's timing in our lives, at an older age to say, "We'll say yes to you, God." See, he says yes to him many, many times. But Frank and Jeannie has just made a decision, and the decision is God's purpose and plan for them to sell everything that they have. Come on. their home that they've lived in, the antique furniture that they have collected over many, many years, to sell all of it and to go to the country of Italy to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on. You can't tell me that God is not calling in this hour anymore. See, that we read about the missionaries, we read about many, many things in the past, but God's still calling in this hour. The scripture of Matthew chapter 28 is still relevant, still pressing forward right now, and it's called God's Son Frank and Jeannie. It's amazing how we're going to connect with them. How many of you want to go to Italy? Come on. I'm excited for you, Frank. Excited. The Great Commission of personal calling. In the Great Commission, Jesus calls every Christian to step out in faith and spread the good news. They say it again. He calls every Christian to step up in faith and spread the good news. Every one of us are called to step up in faith and spread the good news. All of us are called to step up in faith and spread the good news and trust God that He'll take care of us. The vision of Church of Living Waters is written down throughout this building. You see, there's wallpaper, it's been painted, so there's wallpaper, then there's plywood, then there's sheetrock, and on the sheetrock of this entire building is the vision of the church. On every stud in this building, there's a name of Jesus on it. This building's metal studs, that building's wood studs, and on every one, there were people that were writing the names of Jesus. This foundation is built. My dad would bring me to this part of the building, and they would be digging these big pillars. And Rufus knows, you know, construction people know better. And he would say that these pillars are going to go down deep. And it's important that these pillars, because Darren, this foundation right here is not just going to hold a building, it's going to hold a skyscraper. The vision of Church of Living Waters is written down throughout the building. It's written on the slab, and it's written on the beams, and it holds, well, that holds up the building. The vision is given to us, and in the men's class on Wednesday night, they're learning about what is an apostle. The vision was given to us by an apostle through the hands of God speaking. An apostle is a special messenger sent out to plant an organized church, God's church. The apostles are connected with prophets. That is supportive ministry to the apostles and inspired teaching and direction of the word, come on, and purposes of God. I praise God for the Dr. Lester Sumrall that spoke mightily into this ministry from this pulpit, would preach many, many messages about what God was going to do here. The Trygve and Barbara Brekka, that's a sister church in Stavanger, Norway today, that we're reconnecting with in such a mighty way. In March, Gamila and Carissa will be going to Norway to join them for 10 days. Gamila's going to be preaching the word in their church. And I'm so excited to continue to receive that church, receive their youth. Since the tragedy, we've been very rare being able to travel. But before that, if you know, we had all kinds of youth here all the time. We would send youth there all the time. 6 months there, 6 months here. Are you ready again for that? It's going to start in March. Praise God for Norman and Grace Barnes that came and spoke to this house about missions. Not only spoke about it, but lived it out. The word speaks in Luke chapter 4, if you want to turn in your Bibles. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. It's very clear. It's the vision of this house. It comes alongside of the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, for every believer. And it brings more specific who this house is. It's been spoken at the birth of this ministry. It's the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. It's upon you. It's upon every person here. For He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Every one of us is to rise up in faith and bring good news. He has sent me to proclaim to the captives that they'll be released. I praise God for the prison ministry here at Church of Living Waters. For many, many years, for brother, many, many people, but for Daryl and for Dave, sorry, my mind's thinking, David, bro, many, many years going into the prison. Sorry, David, I've known you for, you've known me since I was a kid, come on. For Daryl in the prisons every day, proclaiming the gospel. How many of you, let's see, just stand up if you've been in the prison with one of these guys, just across, preaching the gospel, spreading that. So see, quite a few people have been there. Praise God. Do you know what God's called us to do there? He's called us to say to the captives that there is freedom here. That's what he's called us to do. And just because they're behind bars, it's easy for us to see that they're captives. But I'm here to tell you that every person that doesn't know Jesus is held captive. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free. The Word of God speaks very clearly over this house. It speaks these things. It speaks about hope. Today, there's a great hope that's around us. I'm thankful for the hope. Come on. Today, you can receive hope. As you receive hope, you'll receive healing. Hope and healing come right together. I receive you, Jesus, in my life. Many times, as us receiving Him as Lord, we are healed just like that. Many of us receive hope, healing, and guess what happens right after healing? Every time we are healed, we are free. There's nothing better in this world to be free. Come on. About 4 years before my mom, the tragedy happened where my mom's sister, my brother, passed away. My wife came to me and she said, "Darren, I believe that God is speaking to me. I want to get out of debt." And, you know, I look at her and I say, how can we do that? We got this, we got this, we got this. God wants to show us. And God asked us to be faithful in getting out of debt. Some of the debt, as we were faithful, it looks like, well, goodness, it's going to take us 10 years to get out of debt. I know there are people sitting here that could think that. And I'm here to say that as we were faithful, there were some things that were just wiped away. As we were faithful, they were just wiped away. It's like, oh, no, you don't owe us that. Just a few months before the tragedy, we had our mortgage. We were able to get out of debt, and then we went through the tragedy. And I know what happened to us, for us to be able to get out of debt. You know what that meant? That meant freedom. I was not nailed down, held down to anybody. If I was not going to be able to go into work, I was not going to be able to go into work. If I needed to get down and pray that day, I just got down and prayed that day. God wants that type of freedom over your life. Come on. Freedom. How many of you are seeking freedom in this house? Let me tell you what happens when you touch any of those three. If you touch hope, if you touch freedom, if you touch healing, then you are able to have the ability to receive His love. The second that you feel any of His love, this is what you're going to say. Are you ready? When you sense and feel His love, these words come out of your mouth. I want my life to count in this world. If you haven't received that, God has that for you. But when you really receive His love and what He's done for you, it turns back to, I must do something. I'm not here just here casually. I'm not here just to have children. I'm here to be a son of God. I'm here to do something for God. I want to stand in front of Him, and whatever He has given me here on this earth, I want Him to say, good job, son. You've done it. See, the only thing that comes out of us in that, because see, we are born in sin. It's about me. I want this. I want to do this. I want to be that. I want all of this. But when we start receiving hope, healing, freedom, and there it is, ability to receive His love, everything changes. There are a lot of people in this room that are able to receive His love. And let me tell you what's going to happen with you. Are you ready? There's a great equipping that's going to happen in this house. If you're able to receive His love, then you're standing up saying, I want my life to count. You're going to be equipped, you're going to be empowered, and you're going to be sent out because there's a lost and dying world around us. Amen? Let me move on. I want to speak over a few ministries, and I know that time is running out. We have a ministry that's going to be rebirthed. It's here, but there's so many ministries in this house. I praise God for it, but a ministry called One Day Ministry. How many of you just raise your hand if you've been part of One Day Ministry? Just kind of look around. One Day Ministry is a ministry that comes in, and there are two projects that we're going to be doing very soon. One project is right here amongst us, that a home that needs to be completely redone. And you know, when God speaks to a house, He speaks to a body. He does not tell us to pass up the body to go out and work until we've done things within the body. Amen. We're not out to go to another city if we're not doing it here in this city. God's called us here. God's called us in this body. And so One Day Ministry is a group of people that organizes, that comes together, and in one day. How many of you remember that one day that Jesus came into your life? I like to think that one day. Man, that one day, Ismo, when you were free. Come on. That one day that changed me. Can you believe that we are part of a ministry that in one day we can set someone free? That we can go in. There's one in this house, and then there's a person in Wallace. And in Wallace, there's a man that lives, and he's lived without water for over 12 years. That in the back of his house, he has 10 big barrels that he fills rainwater up. And that his entire amount of water is from rainwater. That's what he takes a bath with. That's what he drinks. That's what he uses. He's 78 years old, lives by himself. And One Day Ministry is going to come into this man's life, and we're going to give him running water. We're going to not only give him running water, we're going to give him hot water. And I'm telling you, every time that this man takes a bath or a shower and it's going to be hot, he's going to give God thanks. See, we are God's hands and we're God's feet. And that man is not going to get hot water until a group of people hear from God and go over there and do it. So in a very limited resource, he gets a check once a month. He's disabled. He needs God's help. Amen? I looked at him and he says, I've been praying for hot water for over 10 years. And I looked at him and I said, sir, hot water's coming. Because I know a group of people that's going to rise up. One Day Ministry, we're going to go to those two homes this year. It's going to be done in the first quarter of this year. And you're going to be organizing. We need help in this. I'm not a this, I'm not a that, you know. I'm someone that can go and I can help, but I don't know how to turn on hot water. We need a director in this ministry, really, to grab construction people, to grab carpenters, and to say, will you give a little bit extra? If you have some to save, can we put it in a storage room? Because it's not only going to be these two homes, we're going to knock on doors and we're going to change the lives of people. It's not going to be, move that bus, move that bus. We're going to bring the church van right there. Move that church van, move that church van. The last home that we did, one of my daughters said, Daddy, you should have called this two-day ministry. Because we sure worked hard on that one day. It's exciting what's in front of us. There's a ministry called Friends of Wallace that we're part of. It's a ministry that's been birthed from this house. Very quickly, we've been given a facility. See, we're not going to have to go out and buy facilities. There are facilities everywhere. There's vision in those places that God has. And God's people, He's going to open up doors and He's going to say, here's a facility. Amen? That's what He's spoken to me. That's what's happened in Wallace. We're going to go into this facility. We're going to redo the bathrooms. We're going to redo some of it. And we're going to put a kitchen there. We're going to put a food pantry there. We're going to have refrigeration. We're going to have freezers. And on Tuesdays and Thursdays, the city of Wallace is going to be able to come to Friends of Wallace, not Church of Living Waters. We don't have to call it Church of Living Waters. Amen? There's no reason. They didn't call themselves Christians. They were Christ-like. We're not going there to plant a church. We're going there to share love and share Jesus. Whatever church they choose to go to, we're going to help them get there. I'm not afraid of starting churches. I'm not scared of doing those things, but I know what God's calling us to do. We're going to see something happen in that city. There is going to be a Bible study there because many people will come to Christ. But it's going to be able to be done by the giving out of God's love. And it's going to start in that area. They need baby formula. They need diapers. They need these things. We already know the need. And Church Living Waters is going to rise up. We're going to stack that place up. We're going to fill it up. And every Tuesday and Thursday, there'll be someone from this body that will be giving that out, sharing the love of Jesus. Excited about that. How many of you have seen the last year a dramatic change in our worship team? I mean, you know, I praise God. There's some young ones that are coming up there. Amen. We even have some real young ones. Jonathan is a third grader, I think. Is it third or fourth grade? Fourth grader. And he's almost ready to play the drums on Sundays. Come on. There's some ministries that have been started that we want every child in this ministry, every child in this ministry to be able to play an instrument, to be able to sing, or to be able to do praise dancing. Every child. Come on. Come on, a few claps, huh? God has called us this year on Wednesdays to pick up children and youth for ministry. We're going out. We have a bus. We have two vans. We're not waiting for anything else. We're going to start using that. 60 children can be picked up on the vehicles that we have right now. Let me tell you right now, for the people that will say yes to this, within a month, we can have 60 children. I guarantee you that. Praise God for ministries that have started up all over the ministry, one called The Future. Ricky Norris came to me, Ricky and Kim, and they said very quickly, you know, they were able to receive that ability to receive his love, and they said, we want our lives to count. It's basically what it is. We want to do something. And I know that from my neighborhood, there's kids that are not going to church. And from my neighborhood, there's kids that are not going to heaven. And from my neighborhood, there needs to be some people rise up and help these kids. And Ricky connected with Rufus and connected with Wes and connected with people. And God planted in his heart a ministry called The Future. And what, do y'all meet here today at 4 or in Richmond at 4? Richmond at 4, next week it will be here. Ricky, just raise your hand. You want to see a God vision, just join, just go see what God is doing. Come on. Right now there's 50 kids in this ministry that are being touched by the kingdom of God. It's because God planted in a heart a man saying, in my neighborhood something needs to be done. And now he's already birthed to that in that neighborhood and in Rosenberg, something's happening. God is not looking down at us saying that he would not help us. It's not been always easy, Ricky, but he's here to help you. Amen? God is calling Church Living Waters, and I'm just speaking out. We'll be speaking out this month for corporate prayer. Come on, corporate prayer. God is calling us in the future in a mighty way to have in this house 24-hour prayer. When I say that, I'm not just saying one day. God's calling for Church Living Waters to be part of the movement that's happening many, many places of 24/7 prayer. We might say, well, God, that's going to be difficult. As a pastor, I say, how are we going to do it? But let me tell you, whatever God is speaking and saying, if he gives you something you can do, that's called a project. If he gives you something that's impossible, that's called God's vision. He's there then to help you with that. Amen. But starting this Tuesday at 10 a.m., Gamila will be holding and leading a corporate prayer time, not only for ladies, but for whoever can come. 10 a.m. in the house of prayer. That will be every Tuesday of this year. There'll be many, many other times that will be added of God's people saying, I just want to pray and allow people to come with me. And that will be put out there. I praise God. You heard me speaking the last couple of months about nursing home ministry. How many of you heard that? And I was just bold saying, every nursing home needs a pastor. I still believe that. I believe that every nursing home needs to be written down here in this city. And every person that's in that nursing home that we can easily, I praise God, Israel talked to me about being able to take stats and be able to know who's in the homes. And we can go into every nursing home and get how many people are in there and their names. And we can go and we can see how many are saved and how many are not saved. And we can start praying for everyone that is not saved. Come on. And we can share the gospel with every one of them. And we can believe that one day, that if someone comes into the nursing homes in Rosenberg and Richmond and Fort Bend County, that they will receive Jesus Christ and that they will live eternally. On the 25th of this month, our ministry called Rock of Ages is going into the first nursing home to do a church service on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We're excited about what God is doing with that. We're believing, and we're going to start in February. Once a month, starting once a month every Saturday, on a Saturday, we're going to go door to door in this community. I'm going to be leading that. I love to knock on doors. I love to just say, hey, how are you doing today? I also love not to mess with people, bother people, but I'm here to tell you that in this community, let me say this, I've lived here my whole life. I know that in this community, there are people waiting for me to knock on their door. I'm not going to bother them. I'm not going to come at the wrong time. They're going to ask me to come in, and they're going to have prayer request after prayer request. And I'm going to be leading a group of people going door to door, knocking. We're going to be finding out what's going on in our community. We're going to put a Bible in each one of those homes, and we're going to stand and believe that God's going to move in them. Amen? Well, that's just one of the things we're going to do. A lot of stuff that God is doing. And let me tell you, let me end with this, what God is speaking. Brother Sam came to me the other day, and I praise God for Sam and Martha, great faithfulness for many years. And he said, you know, God is stirring in me. See, what's happening right now is God stirred in a few men, and God's stirring in more men now, and men are starting to rise. I even had a lady tell me, what's going on with the women at Church of Living Waters? Because they're starting to see the men rise up. Amen? Don't worry, the women are coming. And Sam came to me and he said, you know, I find myself wanting to learn the Bible more. And I know there are many people that want to learn the Bible. So I want to start something on Monday mornings at 6 a.m. Then he said Chick-fil-A. And I'm like, okay. 6 a.m. at Chick-fil-A. And all we're going to do is we're going to come together and we're going to learn the Bible. We have a young lady. Her name's Colette. I thought I saw her here. She came to, there's just right there. If you're on this side, get ready. It's happening over there. Colette came to me, and Colette's a mighty, mighty young lady. She said that I love to do praise dance. That's what God's called me to do. But I want to start on Wednesday nights, praise dance from ages 7 or 6 to whatever age. And if you want to come and learn and do praise dance, come. And I'm going to be here, and I'm going to be ready. And we're going to see many people rise up in praise dancing. See, what's going to happen in Church of Living Waters is that the Sams, the Colettes, and I can put every person's name here, is going to rise up in what God is saying to them.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray you were encouraged and would love to hear from you. For more information on Church of Living Waters, check out col.info.